All right, welcome back to the podcast. Finally, it has been so long, and I really appreciate your patience with me. It has been a very hectic couple of months. I moved and then went on several trips, and I'm just now finally feeling settled. And so it has just been a long couple months of trying to get everything together and feel good enough to start actually like content creating on a regular basis again. So I am super thankful for your patience. Welcome to the new podcast corner. It looks a lot different than it did before. I'm still trying to position the camera in a way that you can see everything that I want you to be able to see. But I just wanted to get this episode up and talk to you guys finally after so long. So I will work on that for next time. But yeah, if you don't have the video version, you can't see the little area that I'm in, but if you want to see the video version, it is available for Patreons in the $15 tier and up. And if you are much more of a visual person, I would super recommend that because we can like see each other and it's just a lot more of a personal feel than just listening to the podcast. So yeah, I'm so glad that you're here. Today we are going to be finishing up the Bible series. I know that we began that quite a long time ago. But what I wanted to do to finish up this series was just kind of take some of your common questions that you ask me about the Bible. And I had you guys send in some specific questions about just the Bible itself, that you wanted my feedback on or just my thoughts on. And so I went ahead and made a list of all the questions you asked and gave like a brief answer over these notes that I created. But yeah, I just want to talk through some of these questions with you. But yeah, so the entire series, we have gone through the Old Testament, the New Testament, you know, just different, aspects of reading the Bible and what I think is the best way to go through it. Not that I have all the answers, but just in my personal experience, in my relationship with God and going through Bible college, etc. So, yeah, so we're just going to dive into all of your questions. And if you have not listened to the previous episodes in this series, I would recommend going back and listening to those episodes because it'll give you some insights on the New and Old Testament and just maybe some other questions that I will not be able to get to today. So let's see. The first question is, do you read the Bible like a chapter book or start somewhere else? That's a really good question. I'm assuming this question is coming from someone who has never read the Bible before or doesn't have a lot of experience in it. While you can read the Bible chronologically, you can read it from Genesis to Revelation front to back. I wouldn't recommend doing that just because there is, I think it is best to start with the Gospels, which is Jesus's life. And he's the main character. So starting there would be something that's really helpful. So no, you do not have to read the Bible front to back. Now you definitely can. But I think that it is a lot more, easy to read and easy to start out with like John or Luke or one of those Gospels and then make your way through the entirety of the Bible. The Bible itself isn't even chronological. All the Old Testament stuff did happen before the New, but within the Old and New Testament, stuff isn't completely in the correct place. And so if you ever wanted to read the Bible chronologically, there's a lot of plans online to do so. But yeah, it doesn't really matter where you start. I think the very first book I ever read was like Esther or something. But I would recommend reading Luke or John, and then Acts and then Romans and then maybe after that Genesis. Just as long as you understand the context of what you're reading, it really doesn't matter where you start. Also, it is raining. So if you hear that, that's what that is. But yeah, so that would be my response to that. My favorite translation. I personally love the ESV translation. I did take several classes on this in college, on like what is the most accurate translation and so forth. And as technology has, continued to get better, we've discovered that ESV, NIV, and NLT are the most like translation wise accurate to the original language. And then the least accurate is actually the King James Version and the New King James Version. Not so much that it's going to make too much of a difference, but if you care about, you know, different translations and the accuracy, etc., I would go with ESV or NIV or NLT. Those are all the easiest versions to read, in my opinion. My favorite is ESV, and I've always read that. And they're very easy to understand, and it is difficult because the translation is translating from a language that is so, so different than English or whatever language you are reading it in. But the closest that we have is the ESV, NLT, or NIV. So that is what I would recommend. Not that it's bad to read the King James Version. It's not. But those are my personal favorites. How to dedicate time to read the Bible. I would say that if, like, again, if you're new to this, it is, like, a new world, especially if you're not a reader. You know, there's some things about it that are difficult. It can be boring. It can be, you know, whatever else. But just like anything else that we know is good for us, we have to form a habit. Just like, you know, if I don't feel like brushing my teeth, I'm still going to brush my teeth because I know I need to, for the health benefits and such. It's the same thing for the Bible. And if you know, that the Bible is going to change the way you think on a daily basis, just like bring you closer to the Lord, etc., you know that it is something that you do need to do every single day. And as you continue in your relationship with Jesus, you will recognize that need more and more. And you can't really get through a day without spending time with Jesus just because you know that your soul needs it and it gives you rest, way more than sleep ever will or whatever else. And so it's definitely something that you just have to form a habit. Like when you don't feel like it, you still set a specific time. It's like having an appointment. You're not just going to skip out on an appointment because you don't feel like it. It's the same way. So, you know, there's not some like magic button of like when you become a Christian, you're going to want to read the Bible all the time. It's like anything else. You're going to have to form that habit and decide for yourself that no matter how I'm feeling, I'm going to choose to do this right now anyway. And honestly, like if you find the Bible boring or struggle with like, you know, reading certain things or whatever, like that's totally normal. A lot of us have those moments or have had those moments in the past. No matter how far along you are in your walk with Jesus, that's going to happen. You're going to be like, oh, like I just don't understand what's going on. But reading the context and understanding, you know, where this is all coming from is going to be really, really helpful for you. But yeah, so that's what I would say. Okay. Favorite resources. If you've been around my page for long enough, you know that my favorite resources are Bible Project and Enduring Word. Both of those things have apps and websites where it breaks down entire books, entire chapters, entire verses, all that stuff. So that is the best place to go to find the context, to understand what you're reading, and really to just get excited about it. If you're a visual person, Bible Project is an absolutely incredible resource for you where they map out the whole book structure and the different topics in Christianity and just all that stuff. So if you have not gone to check out those resources, you are missing out. Please go check those out as you read. I do it every single time. Is memorizing scripture important? Let's see. Yes, it is. But if that's something that you struggle with, it's not like a necessity. But I will say like the more that you do read and the more that you are in scripture, those things will get into your heart and you'll just remember them. Like you'll just remember, like I'm afraid and I hear those verses. Like it's just like as I've been a believer my entire life and I've had like my grandmother like tell me these verses over and over. And, you know, like so I just know them. It's like the same thing as like, you know, a song. The more you hear a song, the more you're going to be like, oh, I know these lyrics, and you're not even trying. So your goal really necessarily, like, if you want to memorize a ton of scriptures, that's awesome, and go for it, and it will be super helpful for you. But if you're not that type of person, and that is hard for you, then just make your goal to continue to read scripture, and as you do, they'll just stay in your heart, like, as you keep going. So it's not like you're bad if you can't memorize it. It's just the more you read, the more you'll remember things. Does the Bible relate to the world today? Yes, it absolutely does. I think the biggest thing that I hear people say is like, oh, well, you know, this sin struggle isn't mentioned in scripture. How do I know that it's really a sin? Or just things along that nature. But if you look at like the root of different sins in the Bible, like lust or greed, etc., most of the things that we struggle with today would be, you know, categorized under those things. And also, you know, past just like sinful stuff, if you get into just like reading about like the Bible characters and the different things that they're facing and going through, like I relate to so many different characters and I know that you will too, as you continue to read, through the Bible stories. And the entirety of the Bible is just illustrating God's story, you know, the fall of humanity and our need for a savior. And so that is so applicable to today because we still need a savior and Jesus came for us. And so as we read the Bible, we can see, you know, the condition of the human heart and how much we need Jesus. And that's still our story today. And so, yes, it is definitely relatable to today. And just because it was written in a different time period doesn't mean that it's just as, if not more applicable to right now. Now, these are some more specific questions, either like my personal favorite things or so forth, just specific questions on like different events in the Bible. Here's an easy one. My favorite book. Right now in the New Testament, it's Acts, and right now in the Old Testament, it's Esther. Esther's always been my favorite. Okay, this one is an interesting one. Why does God still flood the earth when he promised that he would never do that again? But if you look in that story, it does say that he would never completely wipe out humanity with a flood again, because that is what happened in Genesis. He wiped out, like, literally all of humanity except for Noah and his family and then the two of each animal. And so that is the promise that he made, that he would never wipe out humanity that way again. However, it doesn't promise that there will never be floods again. It just says that it won't be the end of all humanity. How does the term Sabbath apply to our lives today as it was written in the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament? So rest is still 100% important to God. It's important for our health and all of those things that are obvious. However, that commandment did come from the Old Testament, which means it's an Old Testament law, which doesn't necessarily mean we shouldn't follow it. It just means you're not in sin if you don't take one specific day every single week. I recommend it. But it's not like if you don't take, you know, that specific Saturday or Sunday and do nothing all day long, then you're like wrong. That's not true. Like, we can take whatever day, we can take certain moments throughout each day. It really doesn't matter. That's at least my opinion on that. Now, I do think that it is like rest is super, super important, and it is something that we should partake in at some point every single day, and then definitely have a day or two a week where you're resting and just relaxing and like getting in the word. However, I do believe that rest is not necessarily like sleep. However, sleep is super good for you. Rest is spending time with God, which should be happening every day anyway. So rest really just depends on the person. It depends on your schedule. Like, a lot of us, like me, like, I live by myself and I have to work almost every single day. And that's okay. And so with that, I need to make sure that every single day I have those times that I can rest and talk to God and just like be with friends or like have fellowship, because that's rest too. But it really just depends on someone's schedule. So that's what I would say about that. Another thing that I would add to that is that the closer we get to Jesus, the more that we're just going to naturally follow those commandments. Like, do not steal, do not lie, you know, do not cheat, whatever. Like, those things will become natural because the Holy Spirit is in us. And you'll desire more rest with him as you get closer to him. Why is Revelation so scary? I think that Revelation has been kind of like, in the minds of all believers, it's become kind of this like stigma of like, oh, this is such a scary book. But it's really not. The entire purpose of Revelation is just to point us towards the end days and like God's plan for the end days, and to get us excited about heaven and seeing Jesus again. Revelation does have some scary ideas and thoughts within it, and things that will happen. But also, like, if our hope is in Jesus and we know that we're saved and we know that we are going to spend eternity with God, those things aren't threatening, because the things that are mentioned are just threatening to the physical body, and to people who are not saved. And so, if our hope is in Jesus, if we know we're spending eternity with him, death, while it is like a scary concept, it's not really scary in the grand scheme of things, because we know we're going to spend eternity with God. And so it is hard to grasp. Like, as you read through it, you're like, oh my goodness, like, this is so much. And it is kind of like scary, like looking through the different things. But in the end, its purpose is really just to excite the believers about Jesus coming back and saving us and, restoring everything that has been lost due to sin and due to the enemy and all those things. So I wouldn't necessarily view it as being scary. I would just view it as, there's a lot of ideas and things that we're never going to understand. And that's also scary, because it's like, we want to know what's going on. But some of those things are just like super up for interpretation, and we're never going to totally understand them. And so that probably adds to the fear factor of Revelation as well. But if we just start viewing it as a book that's going to get us excited to see Jesus again, it becomes a little bit less scary. And honestly, like, if you read it, it's really, really cool. I've read it a couple times and I've done some really in-depth studies on it, and it's really, really cool. There's some really interesting stuff, and it connects to Genesis so well, and like so many different stories. And it's just like, it's a good read. So if you're afraid of it, don't be. Just dive in, just study it, and don't be super intimidated, because there's things that no matter how much you study, you will not understand. So yeah. What does God say about tattoos and piercings? I get this question a lot, because I do have piercings and I do have tattoos. And you know, a lot of people are against those things and a lot of people are for those things, and people just have different views on those things. And it is a tricky subject just because people will take a lot of the verses in scripture that talk about these things and take them out of context. And so like a good example is in Leviticus, it talks about tattoos. But what a lot of people miss in Leviticus is the reason that God is condemning marks on the body is because they were making marks on the body for other gods and worshiping other gods with those marks. And that was God's issue with the tattoos in that statement. It wasn't necessarily the tattoo itself. Another thing that I would look at is Ezekiel 16, actually refers to God putting a nose ring on his bride, Jerusalem, and other beautiful things. He puts a crown and like all these other like adornments. So God adorns Jerusalem with all these different things, a crown and a piercing and, you know, whatever else. And then later on in the chapter, Jerusalem, you know, turns against God and is unfaithful. And that's when God is like, you know, talking about how unholy Jerusalem has been. And it's not in reference to the piercing, which God himself put on the piercing. Like it was like a figure of speech in Ezekiel. It was like, I'm pretty sure that in this chapter, it was a vision that Ezekiel was given. This was something that God put on Jerusalem. And he wasn't mad about that. He was mad about Jerusalem turning against God. And so really, just like with everything else, you need to look at context. There are some things that are like very obvious, like don't have sex before marriage. That's no matter what context you put that in, that is still what God says, no matter where it is in the Bible. But there are certain things like tattoos and piercings that people will just pull the singular verse out and be like, oh, God doesn't like this. But really, it's the thing that is being done behind the scenes that God doesn't like. So that's really what I would say about that. Now, again, if it is your conviction to not get those things, that's fine. And I would say, like, there's, just like there is with anything, there's an excess that you shouldn't pass. Like, I don't think that you should be tattooing your entire body just because it's not healthy for you. But that limit is up to you. Like, I just pray on it. And there are so many things in our faith that's going to be the answer to it. It's going to be like, you know, like, whatever you feel like God is telling you or showing you. And that's kind of true with this too. I don't necessarily, at least in my personal belief, and in talking to God about it, I don't think that there's any sort of issue with it unless you're like getting tattoos about other gods or things that are just like curse words or like whatever, like that would be wrong, obviously. But not even necessarily because of the tattoo, but because of what it represents and what your heart is saying about that. And the reasons behind why you're doing that. So I don't know. That's what I would say about that. I think people get really up in arms about certain topics like this when really, if we know that there's no clear answer in scripture for it, there's no reason to like get all like riled up about it. However, if it is your personal conviction, that's totally fine. That is totally fine. If God says no for you, then that's fine. There are certain things that I will never do that are like technically okay in the Bible. Like drinking, like that's just not my thing. But I know a lot of Christians who, obviously not in excess, but, you know, they have a drink here and there. I don't think that that's necessarily sinful because they're completely sober, you know, whatever. That just gets into a whole other topic. But yeah, so I think it's just up to your relationship with God. And if the Bible doesn't give like a clear answer on it, then just talk to him about it and feel it out. But other than that, like, unless it's something that is very obvious, like the don't have sex before marriage, like we know that that's true. So there is no debate on that. However, with tattoos and piercings, it is kind of not necessarily up for debate, but if you need to look at the context for these things and make sure that you really know what God's saying about it before you make a certain judgment on whether it's okay or not okay. Okay, and then does the Bible talk about dating? This is another subject similar to what I just talked about. No, it really doesn't. It talks about courtship here and there, but still not like a lot. It does focus on relationships and marriage a lot. And then the only other thing that we're given is don't have sex before marriage. And honestly, like in today's day and age with dating, that one sentence is very not helpful because there's so many different lines that you can cross. But I mean, again, with dating, I didn't start seriously dating until I was like 17-ish. I don't think there's a certain age limit. I do think that you need to wait till your brain is kind of like, you're not super hormonal and make rash decisions, you know, but if you really are committed to the Lord, I think it's just finding boundaries that are going to make sure that you're not super like emotionally attached to someone, like in a very extreme or obsessive way. And then the physical boundaries that are going to keep you the most safe, you know, regarding how far you like, how far you don't want to go. And there are just certain lines that you can create. And I'm not going to like tell you the specific lines because it's different for everybody. You know, some people are like, oh, like I shouldn't even kiss them until I'm married. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but if that's your line where you feel like you can't cross that or you'll go further than you want to, then that's fine. That's great. Like set whatever boundary is going to be the safest for you to make sure that you are staying pure and staying like holy before the Lord and that he can bless your relationship in the future. And so that really, again, is up for discretion. That's so hard. But talking to adults and talking to people who really care about you is going to be super helpful for you because you get to see their relationship and how they dealt with things and how they walked holy before the Lord in their relationships and so on. And so that's another hard one. The Bible really doesn't talk a lot about it. And so so that's hard. But I mean, it's really just in your relationship with God, talking to him about it, figuring out what you're comfortable with, what he's comfortable with you doing, and so forth. Obviously there's key, like, don't do this, which we know, but it's the steps before that, that we have to decide, okay, what is right for me and what is going to make sure that I stay pure and stay, you know, right before the Lord in my relationship. So, okay, I think this might be the last question. Let's see. Oh no, here's another one. Advice on the Old Testament and how to read it. You know, I've kind of mentioned this before, but I have an entire episode on the Old Testament in this series. I think it's like maybe two episodes ago. And it is, hopefully that resource will be helpful for you. But the Old Testament really is like, there's so many resources, like Enduring Word and Bible Project, like I mentioned before, and just so many other resources and commentaries that'll be helpful for you. So just don't, you know, read it without help. You know, take notes, look at commentaries, watch videos. Those are all super helpful and super encouraged. And I will continue to do that for my Bible studies for the rest of my life, because there's no way that I will ever understand everything that's being said. And honestly, nobody will, but having some sort of context to go along with it is going to be really helpful. Okay. And then this is the last question. It's kind of a loaded question, but how do we know that the Bible is true? And this, I mean, it really could go into so many different things. But one, if you believe in God and you know that this is his word, regardless of how we really feel, we know that this book is true. So if you struggle with doubts, that's totally normal. But choosing to believe, like, I know that every page of this book and every word of this book is true, that can be a choice. Even if sometimes we're like, oh, like I'm doubting that. But then the second thing is there really is a lot of factual evidence that gives you the basis to stand on for this book. If you look up like copies of the New Testament, it'll show you, and I've gone through this a little bit in other episodes, but if you look at you know, just the historical basis for one, Jesus's life, but honestly, like all of the manuscripts of the Old and New Testament, how many of those manuscripts have been found versus other like quote-unquote religious texts or other like books in general, and then if you look at other religions, even like the Bible was written by at least 66 people over several different continents over hundreds of years. Most of those people had never met each other, and they all sing the same song. They all have the same, you know, theme to these stories, and they didn't even necessarily mean to, which points straight to, you know, a higher power, God, who is, you know, orchestrating these stories together. Whereas all other religious texts were written by or edited by one to two men who were claiming that, you know, God gave only them this revelation, which is just not how God works. And you know, you see like in Islam or in like the Jehovah's Witness Bible or the Book of Mormon or all these other things, it is like one man taking a lot of, honestly, like our scriptures and twisting them. But honestly, the more that we spend time with God, the more that we are going to understand his word and understand him. And this really has to do with all of our questions about scripture. You know, we're always going to have doubts. We're always going to have questions. But as we continue in our relationship with God, it's going to become a lot more easy to trust him and to, you know, wrestle with these questions, but not let it make us doubtful of him. and all the other things he's done in our lives. And so with any of these questions, it is normal to battle with these things and to be like, what the heck? Like, why doesn't it talk about dating? Why doesn't it give us a specific rule book about this specific thing? And I wish it did, because it would make life so much easier. But as we continue to get to know God's heart, he's going to lead us and guide us. And we do as believers, which is super cool, because so many Christians, like early Christians, didn't have the, or early, like people in the Old Testament didn't have the ability to have the Holy Spirit all the time. We do. And God continues to guide us and gives us wisdom in every circumstance. And so as we continue to get close to him, the questions will seem a lot more small compared to how big he is in our lives and how much he guides and leads us through different situations that are really difficult. And so, yeah, thank you for all of these questions. If you have more, I love to do like certain Q&As and stuff every week on my Instagram. If you don't follow my Instagram, that is a great place to go. That's where a majority of this little fam is based. It's at spark.passion on Instagram and on Pinterest and on like every other platform. I think YouTube is just Spark Passion. But yeah, so I love you guys, and I'm really thankful that you give me this opportunity to speak into your life. It feels so undeserved a lot of the time. And so I'm just very, very thankful for you. And yeah, let me know what other series you'd like me to do on the podcast. I am going to start doing podcasts again every other week and YouTube videos every other week. So different suggestions that you have, or thoughts or whatever. And again, I do not have all the answers. And so if you still have questions after this, that's totally normal. I have so many questions, and I could have easily said certain things just incorrectly. And so obviously go back to scripture for yourself, read through it, see how you're feeling about it, and talk to God about it. I'm just another resource that you can use among many, many more qualified resources that you can use as well. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for your input, for your questions, for being here. You make my life so much better. And yeah, I love you, and I will see you next time. Bye.